Ever feel like planning a trip is almost as fun as taking it? Hotel comparisons, restaurant reservations, a perfectly timed itinerary. What if your love of planning travel could actually become a source of income? As a Fora advisor, it can. Fora is a modern travel agency built for people who love to plan travel and help others travel well. With best-in-class training, powerful booking tech, and a vibrant global community of experts sharing real insider knowledge, you can confidently build your own travel business on your terms, from anywhere. Every hotel, cruise, and experience you book earns you commission. And with access to more than 7,000 preferred travel partners from iconic brands to boutique gems, you'll unlock VIP perks like upgrades, resort credits, and late checkout. The kind of elevated travel experiences most travelers never get. Now's the time to turn your passion for travel into a fulfilling business with Fora. Become a Fora advisor today at foratravel.com/advisor. That's foratravel.com/advisor.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Malfunction Junction. Thank you for joining us. I'm Andrew. I'm joined here today by James, James Muhammad. He played the character of Michael in our Night Cook film. And yeah, say hello. I would have given him the applause, the B button clapter, but I don't have it right now. So I'm sorry. Tonight. Hell yeah. So James, we were just talking a little bit about what had recently been going on in your life. So what have you been doing lately?
Making magic, making greatness. Movies, modeling. I actually just finished up a movie, a nice little movie called Pipe Dream.
Okay,
it's going to be premiering January 1st or January 3rd and 4th at Elaine Wolf Theater.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that here in Denver?
Yeah, here in Denver.
Oh, nice, man. Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool. Is it a full length of movie or is it a short film?
90 minutes.
Okay, yeah, that's a feature. It's a feature length film. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be on Amazon Prime.
What was your role in that? Oh, no shit. Fuck yeah, dude.
So I can't say too much. You know, I had to sign an NDA.
Sure,
But essentially, the movie's about Charisma Dream. She's chasing her dream. One of her parents is supportive. The mom is not supportive. The dad is extremely supportive. But basically, a story telling the balance between chasing your dream and chasing your dream. And what was that at? Forgetting it. You know what I'm saying? You know, she's just chasing her dream.
And like an actual home life type thing where it's like you have to, from what I gather, you said one is supportive and the other one's not supportive, right?
Her mom wants her to work in the family bookstore and her dad is like, chase your dream. So, you know, she's working in the bookstore, but she has these ambitions to, she wants more. You feel what I'm saying? She's known in her town as being this somewhat kind of star in theater and play, and she's looking for that big role. You know what I'm saying? And
no, absolutely. That's an interesting kind of concept.
Yeah.
Are you able to share who directed that?
Carlito Hale.
Right on. Shout out Carlito Hale.
Shout out to Carlito, my dog, man. Yeah, for sure, man.
We'd give you the round of applause, but man, obviously we can't. Yeah.
Man, shout out to my dog, man.
Cool, man. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, that's exciting stuff, especially this won't be the first time you've seen yourself in a feature, at least.
This is the first time.
On a feature?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so I've done four movies this year, but nice, none of them have came out yet.
Yeah, and you know? Just to tell you, as the director, that's the tough part of it. Yeah. Is the fucking the filming part of the movie process?
Yeah.
Is the shortest part.
Yeah,
it's the shortest and easiest. Well, easy is a strong word there because it's like none of this is easy.
Yeah,
truly none of it. None of making a whole thing come together like that is easy.
Fact.
And but the production side of things is the shortest part of things. Mm. It runs through.
Yeah.
And but we did pre-production for I took the project on January 12th.
Yeah.
We shot in late June and I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
It's like and honestly, John, when I told him that the other day, which that episode probably by the time this comes out will have come out a week ago now.
Yeah.
He said that's like the pre-production side of things was a decent turnaround for basically 6 months worth of pre-production.
Is that normal?
I have no idea. I'm relatively new to this. This is my second film I've ever made.
Damn.
And the first one called Crickets. Yeah. Just got shown at the Bug Theater this last, or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That was cool. It's part of the Emerging Filmmakers Project, which is one of these stickers somewhere.
Yeah. On this. How was that?
It was great, man. To be able to see, you know, something I made. And yeah. I was actually, that one I acted in too. I had to be the main actor because it was a school film. And yeah. We had an actor for the main part, and then he bailed on us after day one, which yeah. I wish he would have bailed on us before day one.
Yeah.
And so we didn't have to make an extra day and shoot everything again
last
with me.
Type shit. Yeah.
So, but yeah, we it was like as far as it goes, like the actor that we had play, there was a character in it that was Death or the Devil, mm-hmm. essentially, and it was played by a guy named Joseph Bowman. Shout yeah. out Joe, you're great. And I had to play the main character, of course, which was a character named Phil that had died, but didn't know he was dead. It was kind of like a cards up. Like the whole audience knows he's dead, but he doesn't know he's dead.
Damn.
And essentially, he's also a comic.
Yeah.
He dies on the way home from a comedian, like a comedy show, and the devil, basically, he offers like the devil a deal of like, if I can make you laugh, you have to give me my life back.
Damn.
And then so he like gets taken to a
yeah
like a just like a spot like the a spotlight's just put on him, and he's like, you know, tell some jokes, let's go.
Yeah.
If
yeah,
you laugh,
yeah, yeah,
you
yeah,
your
yeah,
li-
yeah,
if I laugh,
yeah.
you get your life back.
Yeah.
And then,
did he make him laugh?
Like, well, there's an ambiguous ending at the end where it just like yeah. it just like cuts.
Damn.
And it just
cliffhanger.
I don't know if it's a cliffhanger technically, because I think that would imply that there's something else.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the actual term is of that, but okay. it might be that, because it was literally, we had a whole thing planned for it. We shot a whole thing for it.
Yeah.
And then my director of photography, Alex Kenley, shout out Alex, he said, what if we just like cut it right after that final joke?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if we just deleted the whole back scene and just cut it right after that final joke?
Yeah.
And all right, and I actually, like, it doesn't even tell the joke. It just, because how do you fucking write a joke that'll make the devil laugh?
You know what I mean? One funny motherfucker. You feel me?
I know, dude.
For real.
It's tough. Yeah. So it's, yeah, I just went with the cut to black, roll credits.
For sure.
And it worked. It actually worked. But,
yeah.
And it was cool to see something I worked on, like, on a, you know, like an actual screen.
Yeah.
But not just, like, on my TV or, I've had a projector before. I've seen it on that, but it's like, you know, not in my living room.
It's a theater
full of people. It's like, man, that was fucking cool, man.
This is real.
It's cool shit.
Yeah.
So, especially like the feeling of like, that was the first film I made.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good feeling to be able to like, someone says like, hey, nice job.
Man.
Like, even if it's like not in a festival or something, it's like, someone was like, hey, this is good enough to be shown.
Absolutely.
Our
see that hard work on the screen and be like, man, the finished product. I really did this.
Yeah.
You feel me?
It's cool, man.
It's different.
It's cool, man.
Yeah. You can't really explain it, but yeah.
It's hard with like, I mean, okay, so I've done comedy a lot in my life too, like stand up, and never for money or anything, just as open mic level.
Yeah.
And
So you could possibly make the devil laugh.
Maybe.
Who knows? Yeah, for sure.
It depends on what the devil's sense of humor is.
Really? Seriously.
But with that, there's an immediate response.
Yeah.
Like there's immediate feedback. You know whether you're good or that joke was funny or not.
Right.
You know that right away.
Yeah.
And, but with a movie, it's like, I'll know, like, if I go sit in a theater, like, if it hopefully makes like a festival or something, like if I go sit in the festival and watch people watch it.
Yeah.
That'll be sick.
Yeah.
But that's really the only time I'll really ever get like an honest feedback from anybody. Cause anybody who's going to watch that movie, I mean, maybe like you hope like people that you don't know watch the movie. Right.
And then
the hope, and it's not even really a hope. It's like, then like the added bonus is like, hey, that was a great movie. Good job.
Right.
So that a stranger tells you randomly, good job.
Yeah.
That's cool. But like, aside from that, it's going to be like mostly people I know, people that were in the movie and be their family and like, you know, that type of thing that are going to watch it.
Right.
And, you know, and then people at the festival really hopefully will be the only like,
not true criticism.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes. I'm really looking forward to it. It really looks good.
Yeah.
There are a lot of shots in it that just look pretty.
Yeah.
And yeah, we did good with it. So great job, honestly, I should say, in your role, because we, there are a couple of, I'm sure you saw on the, I think I posted it on my Instagram a while back, like the still shot of the eyes that we got of you. Dude, it's so, those, it's scenes, so dark. Man.
It's so dark. Even the little clips and snippets that you showed me from the hotel or any other spots, they just look tight, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
Whenever that is, I'm excited. Cool. You know what I'm saying?
Cool. Yeah. And I'll definitely let you know whenever that is. And we'll have a, whatever happens with the festival side of things, once it's done, we're going to have a, like a showing of just like people that, like a private showing type thing or just whoever. We'll probably.
Like in a spot that we shot it at?
No, because I am no longer affiliated over there. But. For sure. It's all good. Fuck that place. Fuck all those people. Damn. Not all those people. All the, like, fuck two of those people in particular. Two of those people in particular, the manager and the owner. Fuck both of those people. Sheesh. And I don't care if this is this people. I don't care. Yeah. They're both assholes.
A lot of shit happened from the time that we finished to now. God damn.
I've been through a lot of shit,
man.
But it's all good.
Life. Life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all good though. It's one, like we, like I said, we're, you know, like it's, I've been through shit that is better than this and I've been through shit that's worse than this.
Yeah.
And it's like, so if this is fucking what I'm dealing with now, it just kind of is.
Yeah. No matter what, you got to take it and, you know what I'm saying? Continue to take steps forward.
Right.
Learn from the shit. All right, bet. I'm going to do better next time. I'm going to learn. You know what I'm saying?
No, absolutely.
So you got to move.
No, absolutely, dude.
Yeah. And you know that.
Yeah. Let me ask you a couple questions just on the, that I'd written down the general side of things. James Muhammad, where are you from?
Born and raised in the best state on the map, Nebraska.
Raised in Nebraska. Yeah. That's funny.
You feel me? Born and raised in Nebraska.
No, I just, I'm not born and raised in Nebraska, but that, that you called it the best state in the, in the, in the union. That's a cool, that's a cool.
You feel me? You feel me? Shout out to 402, all my Corn Hustlers, Corn Coast. You know what I'm saying? Hey, hell, we make waves.
Hell yeah. How do you feel about being in near Boulder? Are you a Cornhuskers fan, or do you care much for sports? Or
I like NFL.
Okay, cool.
That's I like NFL. Cornhuskers, you know what I'm saying? I obviously grew up there, so
sure,
Cornhuskers cool. You know, they're on a roll right now. Yeah, I like. Yeah, I pay attention more to NFL. I would definitely say.
Right on.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm from the capital, not Omaha. It's like 40 minutes apart, you know what I'm saying?
Capital of Nebraska is, fuck, bro, I'm gonna kill it. Lincoln.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, shout out to Lincoln.
That Lincoln, Nebraska shout out. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I was glad I got that.
For sure. Yeah. Most of
cool. Who or what influenced you early on to follow this kind of path of becoming, you know, the artist path, really?
It's an interesting story, and because we got a lot of time, I feel like I'm gonna kind of make this a little long.
Sure, please do. We got all the time in the world.
Okay, so originally it's always been sports. You feel me? For me, how I was growing up, it's always been sports. My dad had me in football, he had me in judo, and my siblings too. Football, basketball, judo, track, you know what I'm saying? We was boxing, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to 4-2, Terrence Crawford, you know what I'm saying? Ali. But you know what I'm saying? We were just athletic. But the thing about me, I'm going to take it to the extreme. My mom would always say, she would always say, I can't remember it now.
Of course, yeah.
But
taking it to
basically,
the extreme.
I'm balls to the wall. When I'm doing something, I'm going hard. Right. No holds bar. She would always say, no holds bar. That's what I take it to. So whatever I'm doing, I'm going hard. And I recognize this about myself, whether it's running track or football or whatever I'm doing, I'm just making sure I go hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So in middle school, it was like that. I was in like a dance group, performing on stage. And then I was in theater a little bit, ended up getting kicked out. That's another story.
Sure.
But
happens.
Exactly. And that was in middle school. So I had a little bit of experience. When I got to high school, it was just sports. But I still knew I had this drive in me. You feel what I'm saying? So try to do the whole college route, college football. My body's made of wood. I always get hurt. busted shoulder, tore my knee twice, bro. ACL, man. My shit just, you feel me? But sucks, dude. I try to do the college route. I went to Iowa State, Iowa Central. I went to school in Texas. It just didn't work out for me. But I still knew I had this drive because everywhere I went, I'm just going hard. So after I tried the college route, my dad, he's a barber, been a barber for 30 years. Shout out to my OG. He was like, hey, man, just try to do this cutting hair shit. I was like, all right, man, let me do this. Went to school. Soon as I started school, as I'm cutting, and I kind of grew up around it, it was just different. I'm just, the outcome of when I would cut hair was just different. You know what I'm saying? So, okay, so now I can do this. I can put that same drive into cutting hair. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it was just, all right, so let me excel. When I was in school, I actually never missed a day of school. School was like longer than a year. Never missed a day of school. Damn, so
that's impressive.
I had this, this is what I want. I'm going for it. So I had that. After I transitioned from the school, graduated, went to Colorado about 2020. Still had this drive, but in that transition phase, my dad told me about bodybuilding. So I'm always into fitness. Right. Never stopped when I was in college, so I transitioned to the bodybuilding. I'm going hard in the bodybuilding. Sure. You feel me? I was doing that for 7 years, so I just always had this drive.
Right.
And then when you get to a certain point in bodybuilding, you have to ask yourself, is this what I want to do long term? You look at the people at the end of the road and be like, you have to sacrifice a lot. You have to sacrifice.
I can imagine that's where you get to.
You feel me?
Like it's you're because you're not. It is bodybuilding, but it's also like for this time,
man,
for right now,
man. You not have to. Later, you have to do a lot, and that's not something I was willing to sacrifice. I got introduced to. I was leaving the gym one time. This is how that modeling and acting started. I knew I had this drive. I was leaving the gym one time, and I was like, I had this spark. Damn, I can transition from these moods that I have, these emotions from happy to sad to these different states. I can do it real fast, real good. What would be perfect for that? And it just clicked. Acting. Went on the internet, found a school, applied for it that week, got accepted, or had like an interview, I think the following week or that within a 2 week time span. Got accepted. Never missed a day of school when I was at the John Casablancas, 30 weeks straight. Never missed a day of school. So I have, you know what I'm saying? I had this drive, and I just kept going. And then graduated end of 2023 and just been on the road. Like I said, this year I've been in 4 movies.
Oh, yeah, man.
You feel me? That's awesome. Hella modeling. Just, you know what I'm saying? Just, yeah.
That's awesome, man. That's locked fucking in. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got, I mean, when you finally hit what you like actually want to be doing.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, let's drive. Like, 100%. Let's just put the gas pedal down. 100%. Keep going. And it's, you know, sometimes there are definitely, I'm sure with this comes this way with acting.
Yeah.
As much as it does with anything that I do too, is that, you know, the feeling of like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm trying to make art. What the, like, come on. It's like, what am I doing? And then it's like, I go to get back to work. And it's just like, you got to shut. It's like, this is what I'm doing. So it's just kind of like, shut up about it. You may be worried about what you're doing right now, but it's going to pay off.
100%, 100%. But I feel that 100%. But one thing I think people don't understand is whatever you're doing, you have to do it to the fullest. No matter if it's you don't see the outcome or the best result in it, you have to go hard. I'm a janitor right now. It don't really feel like I'm paying off, but the janitor, you giving that janitor job 100%. Could lead you to open doors down the road or whatever you're doing. You just got to go 100% every day. Wake up. You may not be I'm going hard today. I'm going hard today because that's going to open doors to the future. You feel me? But people want to half-ass it.
Have you ever heard of a guy? I'm going to look up his name real quick. Hold on.
Go ahead.
He's the CEO of Wonderful. Wonderful. The Wonderful company, like with the pistachios. And Stuart Resnick is his name.
Nah.
He started out as a janitor. He was going to law school, and he started working as, this is the story I've been told at least, that he started in law school just as, you know, working to pay part tuition type stuff, and then realize like, oh, this is really, you know, pretty simple. And like, I don't think that the people running the company are really running it as well as it could be. So yeah. Saved up his money, bought the company. Mm. And then, with that money, for like the rest of his time in law school, worked like to build this janitorial company up, bought another one, kept growing. Soon he was like, I forget where exactly, but he was in charge of like doing the whole janitorial place at, I think it was like NYU or something.
Crazy.
I forget exactly where, but somewhere like a big building, he was in charge of the whole. So he sells that company for something like, I don't know. I would be dumb to quote a number, but it was insane. Yeah. It was a large number.
Yeah.
And then sold that company and then went and bought land out in California, and started growing pistachios.
Crazy.
And like, you know, there's a lot to be said about the wonderful company with some stuff that they do. But like, the thing is that like, that's the American dream is what they tell us at least, is that to be able to start with like, look, like to be able to start with what you have, which like, I think another problem with, I think, the explanation of what we get, all these like people want equality, right? But there is no equality of outcome because of what you're talking
There's
about.
There's no quality of outcome.
Equality of outcome because of what you're talking about. Some people are going to give it 10,000% and some people are going to give it 50%.
Facts.
And the people that give it 50% are not going to end up in the same place that gave it.
Absolutely.
And like, so it's what you do with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all definitely don't start in the same place.
Facts.
But you play the cards you're dealt, man.
100%.
You play the cards you're dealt. You don't get to, like, freak out and moan and bitch and complain about the cards you were dealt and throw the cards up in the air and run out the building.
Facts,
you just got to keep playing the cards.
Facts, and one major part, and I have conversations with a lot of people who sit in my chair, is momentum.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that momentum on your side, don't mm-hmm. stop. Don't
no.
You got to remove anything that hinders that momentum and add anything to that momentum that builds it. You want to continue that momentum going, because when that a book that, man, the Compound Effect.
Okay.
I can't remember the author, but the Compound Effect is a phenomenal book that talks about momentum. A penny stacked every single day at the end of 30 days is like $5 million.
That's a good, yeah, you're right.
You feel me? Just,
yeah,
you
I think it's
build
like
and every single day you put in work. You feel me? If you read a page.
Darren Hardy. Yeah.
If you read a page every single day, it don't seem like a lot. Man, I just read one page today. At the end of the day or at the end of the month, that's 30 pages or 10 pages a day. At the end of the month, that's 30. You feel me? You just want to don't stop. Keep it going. You feel me?
Yeah.
People stop. Man, I put in so much work. Let me rest. Dang, you just killed all your momentum.
You killed
your momentum, dog.
Yeah.
You feel me? Keep it going.
Yeah, it's like, you got to keep that momentum going. Another way, that's probably why you've done 4 films this year, is because you're just trying to, and then all the art modeling too, just to keep things going forward, man.
Because when that snowballs, perfect example, a snowball. I've actually seen a thing where the snowball actually when it goes down the hill, doesn't turn into a ball. It turns into like a bigger quarter. You feel me? Yeah. But anyways,
that's true, huh?
You feel anyways, but
wait a minute. Not thinking of physics. Continue.
you wanna roll. You wanna stay on that roll so you can build and grow and grow and grow, grow. Don't stop.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah, man.
Keep that shit going. Apply pressure.
That's awesome, man.
Seriously.
What's a failure that's taught you something?
A failure that has taught me something. Man, every single failure. I'd rather fail. I'm trying to fail.
Yeah.
Seriously. How can I fail? Well, okay, let me fail as fast as possible because I know I'm going to learn the most in that failure. What's in a specific failure? We're going to get deep a little bit.
Let's do it.
Probably hurting the people the closest to me.
Yeah.
You feel me?
I can relate to that one.
Man, because at the end of the day, the people closest to you is really the ones you got. You feel me? And then you hurt them, and who you got? You ain't got nobody but yourself. You feel me? And when you in them dark places, it ain't easy. But in them dark places, you learn different sides of yourself. But you feel me?
Yeah, man. No, the three answers you've given so far are like three very similar answers to what I would have given. So except for the Nebraska part.
You feel me? Best state.
That's an interesting way to look at it, is that, like, I'm looking to fail.
Man.
It's like, because, I mean, you know, obviously you don't want to fail all the time, but you want to know where, like, what is failure here? Because like that that failure is different in every situation, especially in acting, because like you're. You know, you could feel like you butchered the performance, and it's like, no, that came out exactly as we needed it to. You know what I mean? Like, it's don't worry about it, or you know, or you actually did great there, whatever it is. And it's like, so, yeah, it's to know what failure is to some, to like, to where the line is of failure is important. So that's, and then also like, then you're gonna learn if you do fail when you do fail, I should say, you're gonna just learn of what. Not to do the next time. Hopefully, absolutely. If you're hopefully at least
like a perfectionist, like you said, you're gonna learn from you. Whether you see the when you see yourself on that first film, regardless how you thought you did, when you look at it, you'll be like, "Damn, I could have done better. This is what I can improve." Yeah, exactly. You feel me?
So many things I thought of on that. The good thing about that particular one is that it was about a year removed from making it.
Yeah.
So it was like enough time to just be like, "Yeah, I see it, but whatever."
Yeah.
So I was like, thankfully, enough time to not like be like, let me fucking fix this here.
Yeah.
Hold on, everybody. Stop the show.
Let me edit this. Like, but ultimately, that's how you want to look at situations, whether it's conversations with people or, you know what I'm saying, just how your day was. Just, man, how could I done better? How could I communicate it better? How could I done something better? But that's kind of how you want to look at every situation.
Sure.
At least that's kind of how I do it. What could I have done better? How could I have improved just a little bit?
Because yeah, I remember you asked me that a couple times during You asked me that a couple times during the.
How can I do better?
Yeah,
because you feel me. Yeah. I need the critiques.
Yeah,
I'm trying to be. You know, bro. Let me know what's up, man. Yeah. Y'all, let me know.
And I was trying to, but the thing was, you were kind of just doing exactly what we needed you to do.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, so, I always feel like I can bring more. So it's like, you know.
No, it was great, dude.
Yeah, most of my respect.
Yeah, absolutely, dude, absolutely. And we're back. We're going to have to continue doing that because of the camera. I have to figure out a setting on that thing. I don't know exactly what's going on, but
yeah,
damn setting won't let me record for longer than 30 minutes at the moment. It was fine earlier. I'd never had that problem.
Earlier.
Like, I mean, I don't know. Whenever the last time I used this camera for this was.
Yeah.
But like, so let's talk a little bit about the film a little bit that we both worked on together, Night Cook. What about the film and the role made you want to audition?
I like films that are different. When I'm reading a script, I want it to stand out to me.
Sure.
It's not seem basic. Or if it do seem basic or plain generic, I kind of stay away from it. It just kind of stood out to me. It just was like, I've never done any thriller things or things of that nature. It was just different. You feel me?
Cool.
And it was a role that I could feel like I could stretch myself, if you feel what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's going to be somewhat of a challenge to be this character, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm glad you thought that it was a little different, because it was a little bit different of a, it's like, it's not,
it's creative. It shows the writer is not thinking the same as everybody else, because a lot of stories are just same and basic.
You can shout that out to Travis.
Man, shout out to Travis, man.
Yeah, man. Travis, shout out, dude. You're fucking awesome. He's been. I'm not gonna say anything. He's the man. He's the fucking man. I was just gonna say he's been going through some shit.
Yeah.
We love you, Travis. We love you, Travis.
Most definitely.
For sure. A good compliment to the writer, especially because it's a, like, him. And I wrote the script. That's all. I just took his story and turned it, you know, adapted it for a screenplay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, because he had told me, like, this is, you know, I think this could make a decent film.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to do that. And so he asked me, and because I know how to do that.
Yeah.
And made it happen. And, yeah. How did your expectations of making the film meet with reality of making the film?
So being on set for this movie particularly was probably one of my favorite ones.
Nice.
Everything was concise. Everything was, how fast did we shoot this?
5 days.
Bruh.
To the T, though.
You feel me? Every single day on point. This is what we're shooting today. There was a plan. You feel me? It was, everybody was professional. I really enjoyed that. You feel me? Man. Even being behind the scenes, it was just like, seeing everybody work, there's certain, I've been on different sets and every set is different, you know, but this is definitely my favorite, hands down.
Cool, man.
It exceeded my expectations, to answer your question. It definitely set the tone for sure.
Okay, cool. That's awesome, man. That's really good to hear. Thank you.
It was def.
We worked hard at that to make things, because it's like we only had 5 days.
Yeah.
And so we worked hard at making sure that we could get everything on time. And it worked out, dude. It's
Thanks.
A miracle it did.
Thanks.
Did anything in particular about the script get you excited or make you hesitate?
There were certain scenes.
Okay.
Certain scenes that I did. Two particular when I had... Can I talk about it? Or?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Did I say NDA?
No.
Okay, bet. So it's the scene where I had the knife in my hand, that one where I could just be sadistic almost, you feel me? Just, you know? And the scene where me and... What was his name? The other one that was just saying?
John.
The scene where me and John was in the kitchen, I enjoyed that scene too because it was just, I had more dialogue and I don't know, it was a lot of buildup. It was almost like I had a conversation with a couple people in my chair. I kind of look at certain scenes as like a boxing match where they're bringing out their best to the scene and I'm bringing out my best. And it's not like saying I'm better than you, but it was just like, you feel me? And that was kind of like that scene and I enjoyed things like that.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that knife scene, I'm glad you guys convinced me to do that. I'm glad you guys convinced me, like, fuck it, no, we're doing the knife, we should do the knife. And I was like, okay, cool, because I want to, but I just didn't know how to bring that up.
Yeah.
So, because, I mean, if I have money to be like, yeah, we got insurance on this whole film, then that's different. Didn't have that. Like,
anything could happen. Like, you know, anything. Like, man, shout out to my dog Agapi, man. Golly. Yeah.
Dude.
So I was on another set and anything can happen.
Oh, no.
Anything can happen, man. Dealing with knives, glass. Like,
oh, boy.
Yeah, anything can happen, dog. Yeah.
That's no good.
Man.
Yeah, it just sucks, dude. To have something happen like that. Like, if something were to have happened with that particular thing on set, I would have been like, fuck, bro.
Yeah.
Like, just like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. And see, now that we're talking about the film, my memory, you bring something up and then I have a flood of memories. When we was in a hotel.
Oh, boy.
I like that one, too. Holy, I like that one, too. Yeah. The creativity with the little alien shit. You feel me? And that was a good scene, too, actually.
Yeah, it came out all right. We had to cut one part of it out, the part where John jumps out the window, or like fake jumps out the window. We had to cut it out, like we had to cut the shot of it out, because it just didn't make sense.
Okay.
Instead, it's just like he opens the window, remember, because you guys were like
standing
him. He opens
it,
the window, and then it's just like shoot, cuts to him running.
Interesting.
Because it just didn't work with the jump out the window. It just was like too cut, like quick of a cut. I don't know, it just didn't work.
Yeah.
But what was the best part of the experience?
Meeting everybody.
Nice.
I just talked about earlier, like stretching. It made me uncomfortable. Or there are some times where I could arguably say kind of be uncomfortable in it. Like, okay, you got to step up. You feel me? It brought me out of my comfort zone. That's what I'm looking for. It brought me out of my comfort zone for sure. To really own the character, to be around everybody that I'm not used to being around. It just was...
That's awesome.
It was real, you know what I'm saying? So it really challenged me to be a better actor, a better version of myself, on screen, off screen, how to be professional, on set, you know what I'm saying? Just dealing with everybody, like...
That's cool, man. Thank you. That's cool. Yeah. That's a cool one. Was there a worst part or there almost definitely was.
There's I was couple, gonna,
the hotel really.
The hotel. It wasn't. I wouldn't say a worst part. It was actually one of the. I never stayed on set that long. We was there to about 12.
Yeah, I think so.
Damn near.
Something like that. It was really late. Yeah. I think it was 11:30 when we cut. Yeah. So it was, something
but,
like that.
But I don't even look at it as like worst part. I feel like it's all part of the game. When these big time actors. Start their journeys or whoever they, you know what I'm saying? Hey, ups and downs. And I just feel like, okay, I'm just paying my dues.
That's a good way of looking at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's part of it too. That's why the first film I did, I had to do it. Like I had to shoot it in the middle of the night because there was no other way I could have gotten the location unless it was in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And so we shot in the middle of the fucking night. That's part of paying your dues.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's cool. Yeah, that hotel was fucking awful.
It was perfect, though.
I know,
it was perfect, though. It fit perfect, bro. That so grungy good. Look, bro. Like, it fit
terrible,
perfect, bro.
It's the worst place ever. It was, we were supposed to use a different motel that was next to that one.
Okay.
And we originally signed with them. I told this story the other day, but when I got there, when Magdalene got there to pay, and they asked her for like $200 more than they had quoted us.
Mm.
And she was like, should I just pay it? I was like, no, do not. No. Let me get there. So I went there and just started yelling at her. And it was like, I didn't actually start yelling at her. I just started, not at Magdalene either.
But yeah.
The Chinese lady that was the counter lady at the fucking motel.
Other one. Yeah.
Then the other motel. She was, I just like walked in and I was like, hey, like, so that's, and she was like, no, you guys owe this much money. And I was like, no, dude, we do not. And I finally was just like, fine, we're out.
Yeah.
And I just took my money and left. And then I went to Magdalene was pissed. And I just turned around and I went to the other place that was right here and just like, hey, I have $200 for you guys if you want to give me a room right now.
Yeah. I mean, it fit perfect, bro. Yeah. Everything happens for a reason, man. Yeah. You feel me?
Like, yeah. It worked perfect. Yeah. It worked absolutely perfect. Yeah. Because it was just the most disgusting place. Like, there definitely was someone murdered in there at some point. Like,
bruh.
There had to have been, dude.
Bruh, bad, but like, it was grungy.
It worked perfect.
Perfect, yeah. I can't complain. You feel me? Yeah. It was a nice experience, memories.
Cool.
Yeah.
What about the character, or what part of the character felt closest to you?
What part of the character? I was going to say the whole character.
I guess it's hard to tell answer that question with a short film, really. Mm-hmm. I just kind of added that part. But I guess let me ask you this. Was there a moment on set when you felt your understanding of the film shift? It's hard because we shot it out of order.
Yeah.
But like maybe through reading the script or something, we're like, oh, now I'm looking at it maybe a little differently. Also, if no is the answer, that's a good answer.
Ask a question again.
Yeah, so is there a moment on set when you felt your understanding of the film shift? Maybe through reading the script, or it's obviously hard to tell when we shoot it out of order, but yeah.
We did the kitchen scene before the outside scene, right? Or we did the outside scene first?
The smoking scene?
Yeah.
That was the first day.
That was the first day?
Yeah.
And then we did the hotel after the kitchen, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so the kitchen scene, because I was about halfway, in my opinion. When we were doing a lot of the kitchen scenes, a lot clicked at that time. Being in that spot, being around everybody, a lot clicked.
Nice.
You feel me?
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good time for that to happen, like the second day of it. Because the first day, it's kind of, I get it.
Yeah.
But like, if it's a good... I think that was the second day that we did the... I can't remember.
It's five days of a lot
of work I had those days. I remember coming home usually just being like fucking dead tired.
Bro,
like,
I bet. Y'all was there way longer than me. Dude. Hey, man, Jane, you could go. You ain't got to tell me twice. Yeah, exactly. Man, what? Y'all had about four more hours. Oh, man.
Dude,
soldiers, man.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah. All those guys that were on the team. Shout out. Those guys were great.
Shout out to everybody, man.
Lee.
Shout out to my dog, Harrison, man.
Harrison.
Yeah.
The man.
Yeah.
Yep. He was over the other day watching some fine cut stuff. He's going to do the audio editing, too.
Yeah.
The mastering, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah.
What was the most difficult shot or sequence to shoot, mentally or technically?
I have to go back to the scene of me and John when we was in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I had more dialogue, and it was more, it wasn't just more dialogue, it was dialogue where I had to, like, bring different emotional sides of myself, deliver it differently.
Sure.
Where you, where you transition different parts in what you're saying, like, you just have to deliver it differently, make sure it comes out properly, and then you can kind of judge that, depending on the level of the actor, of how they come back at you. You feel me? So that was
a challenging shot.
Yeah, that was a challenging shot where it demanded more of me And I know I had to, okay, James, you really got to bring it. Because yeah. I think that's where you can really recognize if it's challenging or not. If you're saying to yourself, come on now. If you're just sitting there like, it's easy. I mean, it's not that challenging. Not, yeah. I remember I'm sitting there like, okay, you got to get right. This is it. You feel me? You got to bring it. You know what I'm saying? Nice. Them conversations to yourself. That was that moment for me.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
And we're back. Yeah, nicotine's a son of a bitch.
I wouldn't know.
That's good, dude. Good for you, dude. Yeah. I wish I had never started. It's the fucking. I started when I was like 13.
God damn.
I didn't have stand a fucking chance.
Yeah.
It didn't start with like the vape or anything. It was a fucking dipping tobacco.
Dipping. Is that what it is
like,
now?
No, chewing tobacco. Like no, I no. It's I was just smoked a little.
Yeah.
I bought a fucking bag of tobacco the other day, like a pouch, and I'm almost out of it.
Are you one of the people that. The machine.
No, robot dicks, no.
I never heard it. They be sucking the shit out them over. Goddamn, what you?
Bro, I've hit those before. I mean, like, I've done those quite a bit in my life. Not like the big mod ones, but like the little disposable ones quite a bit. And they are, I swear on this, they are worse for you than cigarettes.
I heard that.
I swear. Because they look like cigarettes, like, yes, at least we fucking know. Like, at least we know, yes, this can cause cancer. Maybe don't do this. It's bad for you. We know this is bad for you.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't cause cancer, it can cause other things. It's bad for you. We have no fucking idea what these chemicals that we're inhaling do to our lungs. And then also, I have never craved nicotine more than when I've been on the vape.
Mm.
Never. I'll wake up. I don't usually need it in the middle of the night if I am... Not on the vape. If I'm on the vape, I'm waking up in the middle of the fucking night, and if it's not right next to me, I'm like, where the fuck is it, dude? Like, I don't know if you've ever been with a girl that vapes or anything like that, dude.
Fuck no. Like, dude, women who vape. Sorry. I ain't fucking with you. You ain't going. No. I ain't going. You vape, you hit the dough. Seriously.
Yeah. I get it, dude.
It's just so easily accessible. That's what makes it another problem. You feel me? You can be at the home, couch, work, just go to the bathroom. I'm going to hit this bitch real quick.
Or just you feel me? Anywhere, dude.
Versus a cigarette, you have to go outside, you feel me? Or if you're
sanitary.
Know? Yeah. Facts. facts. Absolutely.
And I've been both. I've been sanitary and unsanitary in my life. Yeah. I definitely smoke cigarettes inside. But I'm an ex-alcoholic, so it's like my first fucking... however many years of my life are spent fucking ripping cigs inside, dude. Yeah. Like,
Damn. For sure.
Yeah, it gets, sure. It's this podcast is usually, it's typically, when I first started this podcast, it was about addiction specifically, but I've kind of transitioned it into the crossroads of art and addiction is what I like to say. Yeah. That way I can do art or I can do addiction, and then they can cross too, because there's a lot of artists that are addicts. So
facts.
It's like,
facts.
So it allowed me to do kind of more than just pigeonholing myself into like, addicts.
One,
and like, you know, I look at the addict community, like the recovering addict communities, those are my people. I love those people. But at the same time, like, you know, I also love talking to artists.
Yeah. Represent yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely like once I found that little like crossroads area, I was like, okay, we're good. We can do that. I like doing it. It's fun. It doesn't pay anything yet. Hopefully maybe it will one day. But you know, it's fun to do. Yeah. It's something to work on every now and then.
Yeah. Good conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you get to have good conversations that, facts. You know, you, with people that you may not ordinarily have got to talk to for however long. Facts. You know? So, yeah, it's cool.
Absolutely.
So let's go into another question here I got here for you. Did anything go wrong that ended up helping the performance?
Did anything go wrong that ended up helping the performance? Did anything go wrong? No.
No?
No, not that I...
I'm trying to think. John's answer was, and I'm sure you can probably guess, really, is the cigarettes.
Yeah. I had a feeling he was going to say that. Yeah. I didn't have to endure that.
No.
Jeez. Yeah, that was brutal. And then his stomach was hurting, right?
I think so, for a little while after
that. Yeah.
Yeah, damn. He champed it though. He was like,
he did.
He
didn't,
he didn't tell me about this. John, he told me the other day about the stomach. He was like, yeah, my stomach was fucked up for a while after that. He didn't tell me about that at all at the moment.
he said he was clean for a certain amount of years.
On the cigarettes, yeah.
Damn.
Which is honestly, it's probably better that it worked out that way.
Why you say that?
Because nicotine is one of those things that, like, if you enjoyed the experience with it, and like after you've been addicted to it, and then you try it again, you enjoy the experience with it, you're right back on it, dude. Mm. You're just right back on it. But if you throw up, you hate it. You're like, oh, no, I'm good, dude.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I think it's probably best that if he's been clean from cigarettes for a while, that was his reaction.
Yeah, facts. You know? Damn. Yeah.
So, you know, and like the question was, did it help the performance? And yes, it did.
It definitely gave texture to the performance, man.
Yeah. How did our directing relationship work in your perspective?
Y'all was on point. Professional. When I be on set, that's how I want it to be. I don't want a director to be like, to kind of be a little timid. If you want something how you want it, hey, you feel me? That's how y'all was. This is how it's going to be. It wasn't no rude or aggressive way, but you feel me? This is how it's going to be. I need y'all to do this. I need y'all, okay, this is what we're going to do. Y'all really like, I'm telling you, y'all set the tone for how I went into sets the rest of the year. Like, y'all was professional. Y'all good. Did y'all job, man. Yeah, you man. Feel me? And that's what you want. Y'all really set the tone.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Is there anything about my directing style that I could improve on, or I guess I was going to actually ask first that you liked, and then I was going to ask improve on. So either one first.
I approach it like this. Be more vocal. You feel me? As far as like, I would want myself to be more vocal. If I was on set and I was if this makes sense, it might be a little confusing.
Sure.
If I was on set being me, but I was also director, I would want me to be more vocal. You feel me?
Okay.
I'm new. Hey, do this. Not in no aggressive or mean way. You feel me?
Yeah.
Just move. Hey, boom, 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 boom. Just be more vocal. Be more, at least that's what I want for myself as a director if I was new. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That's interesting.
Most definitely. But I'm telling you, everything was solid. Everything was on point. Y'all set the tone.
Good.
You feel me?
Cool, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What do you think is the moment in the film you think that will stick with people the most?
In what way? There was funny times where I think we kind of like bonded as a crew or as a film production, you can say. Mm-hmm. Or there was times where it's like, damn, that scene really stood out as a film. You feel me?
I think the latter, the second one.
I think that knife scene, I think that one stood out.
Okay, yeah.
You feel me? I think that stood out.
Yeah, I think so too.
You feel me? I think that was before the hotel. That was when we really brought the knife out. Like, you can't mess around with this, y'all. Yeah. This is serious. It was skeptical to even bring it in.
Yeah.
And we brought it in. So it's like, you feel me?
Yeah.
I think that would really stuck with people. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that one will as well stick with people. I think you wouldn't have been there for this, but the alien scene, which is like when John is like going into the room and like it first encounters the being thing.
Mm.
And the way that we cut that, it looks ridiculous the way we filmed it, but the way it ended up being cut looks perfect. And it's like, so I don't know if you remember, I think it was scene 20.
In the hotel room?
It's in the hotel room. It takes place, it's like, it's room 166, I think, is like.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't there.
You wouldn't have been there for that part, but it was, that part I think is going to stick with people too, because I think it's cut well, and then I think I also think the beginning part will stick with people.
Which one?
We shot John driving the van around in a couple different spots, and like it's just really pretty shots.
Yeah,
there's just some really pretty shots.
Interesting.
So I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to
seeing. Bro, I'm excited for this, I'm excited for this, bro.
Good, man. Hell yeah.
Whatever is coming out, man. Bro,
stoked, dude.
Man.
What part of the film's themes, monotony, liminality, and fear of being stuck hit closest to home?
I don't even know them two words, man.
So monotony. That's it.
Monotony,
fuck, dude. What was? Why it? Am I terrible at that? Monotony. I think it is monotony.
What is the other one?
Liminality is, I think, essentially. Liminality is like a slice, like a so. The liminal part of the, I'm gonna have to look it up because I'm gonna butcher that too. Yeah. So monotony. Yeah, right. Monotony. That is how it's pronounced. Is lack of variety and interest. Tedious repetition and routine. Mm-hmm. So, like, the idea of, like, you. I mean, for you, your character, it was the your first day on the job. But for Gary, it was, like, the his 9,000th day on the job, you know? Yeah. So, and then liminal, occupying a position at or on both sides of a boundary or a threshold. Mm-hmm. Or relating to a transitional or initial stage of a process.
Interesting.
That's a weird word. I don't know how to even describe it. Let me think.
So how do you tie that into the question?
So I guess what I'll just ask you this here. What part of the film's themes, based on your perception of it, or even what I just said, hit close to home for you?
Oh, the outside scene with me and John.
Right, yeah.
That one, I wouldn't say necessarily hit close to home, but I could really relate to that, where we just shooting the shit outside, you on a little break, you feel me?
Yeah.
Without the cigarettes, you feel me? Sure, it could be whatever, whatever. But, you know what I'm saying? Me and my dog, hey, man, we have this little break we're going on, and then maybe 10 minutes go by, I go back inside. That felt really, I think that felt really real. Yeah. I could really bring who I was to that scene because I kind of experienced moments like that, whether it maybe not even be at work. Maybe we at my homie crib and we go outside real quick and we just shoot the shit. You feel me? That one felt real. And that one really like...
Cool.
I enjoyed that scene a lot. It felt real.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Let's think. I got another one here. What about this film makes you feel proud to be a part of it?
What about this film makes me feel proud to be a part of it? The whole thing, man. The whole thing.
Cool.
I enjoyed, man. Like I said, bro, y'all really set the tone.
Good.
You feel me? It was even just the little things, how y'all provided like little food, little snacks throughout the whole, every day.
Yeah.
You feel me? It just was the little things, how y'all brought your own clothes for us to wear. I'd be on scenes where, hey, man, y'all got to buy all these outfits. Dude. I'm like, God damn it. It's not necessarily a big problem because, like I said, that's part of the journey. You got to, you feel me, pay your dues.
Yeah.
You feel me? But that makes it more real. Hey, the producers is giving us clothes. They providing food. They doing everything. But that makes it, you feel me, it just being a part of the whole thing. Even John, he was in like 20 movies or something like that.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
Been on a lot of movies. There was another actor, Haley. We went to the same college. John Casablancas, who graduated from the same model and acting school. Cool. You know, just being a part of the whole thing, man. It was just a wonderful experience, man.
That's cool, man. I didn't know that you and Haley had that connection there. That's cool. That's awesome.
Shout out to Haley.
Yeah, shout out Haley and Allie too. You guys were great. Yeah. I probably will eventually have you guys on. I hope either individually or I would hope to have like the four. And maybe even Travis on too.
That'd be dope.
That'd be cool. That podcast is six. That'd be hard to do. We'd have to figure that a space out. Facts. Not in here, probably.
Yeah.
Probably have to do. Or you could make room in here, but it'd be hot as fuck,
though. No hidden tables.
No. It'd be hard.
Yeah.
We'll have to figure that one out.
Facts.
Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah, man. That's that. It was overall, dude. It was a great experience. I mean, like even for our end of things, like we all came away with it feeling like, dude, every actor, every person that was on set, every crew member, whatever, like we like did exactly what we needed to get them to do. And by the end of it, we really truly felt like we had shot a good film.
Yeah.
And it was just up to the editing.
Yeah.
And it, you know, yeah, which has been, I've been editing it for, like, so much.
You said 600 hours.
Not 600 on just minutes. The editing. That's the 600 hours on the whole project. Yeah. The whole project so far I've spent easily 600 hours. Maybe crazy. More. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's just like, it's kind of an endless. It's especially like I said, as a kind of a perfectionist. It's like, it can be an endless thing. That's why I'm like, I have Harrison and Travis, and then also I'm trying to get a third one of my friends on it that hopefully will accept the offer on it. But I need someone to tell me like, hey, okay, it's good. Mm-hmm. Like, this looks good. You don't need to change anything else. Because I will continue to change things until I fucking ruin the thing.
So it's like, you know. So I feel that. I feel that. It's almost like being a perfectionist, but having the ability to trust your intuition. Okay, this is it. You feel me? A lot of times, like 4 or 5 times, all right, that's OD. Within like 2 or 3, okay, this is... Perfectionist, but really trust your intention, your intuition, because that shit that really gonna guide you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's like that's been this whole fucking year, learning how to follow my intuition, dude.
Yeah,
dude, that's the hardest thing ever. Because I mean, I hope everyone has the little voice in their head that fucking goes, "Hey, do this right now."
Yeah.
But then you either ignore it or you just walk right by it or whatever it says. Yeah. You don't acknowledge that it exists.
Yeah.
But then like the time that you take to like go. Acknowledge that it exists. Like, this is an example of something that happened to me the other day. Do you know the book The Fountainhead by Ayn Rand?
Mm-mm.
It's essentially about, I mean, I haven't read it yet because I just found it, but it seems to be what I've been described it as is like it's a book about an artist finding, you know, their perfect creation and then like the route they go through within that time of finding a perfect creation and like
the
destruction.
Journey.
Yeah, the journey of it. And, I was walking my dog the other day, and I walked by like a little take a book, leave a book library on the road here, and I was like, nah, I don't need to stop. And then something in my head just told me, no, you gotta stop.
Check it out.
And I looked in the thing, and first thing I saw was Ayn Rand's The Fountainhead, and I like had already known what that book was about, and I was like, well, that's fucking uncanny, dude. Like, and so I picked it up and took it with me. I gotta go leave a book back there.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. Like the intuition thing, and also like the synchronous things of like when synchronicity is like when things start to like look like they're adding up or look like they're aligned. It's like just keep going along the path that you're going along, and things will be, you know, good.
That's what we were talking about earlier. That momentum.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
When that's on your side, you feel me? Yeah. And then another thing that adds to and takes away from trusting your intuition and listening to that is the people around you and then how you treat your body. Say, for example, you alcohol, weed, your mind clear or not clear. Mm-hmm. It's cloudy. You can't really see, right?
Sure.
Or you can't really receive the message of God and you can't really receive the message clearly. So your intuition is a little off. You feel me? But say, for example, you water, meditate, whatever you need to do, your temple is properly aligned. Now you're receiving the message in a clearer place, mentally, physically, spiritually. You feel me? So now you're in a better place to listen to that voice in your head. You feel me? That intuition.
No, absolutely, dude. And personally, I do still smoke grass, but it's a long list of vices that have been trimmed, and it's still on the list.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, but eventually I'll probably quit that one. I've been thinking about that one lately, but yeah. Yeah, alcohol specifically, I think, does cloud the, for like lack of a better term, third eye.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the right term at all, because that's like the idea of like, you know, psychedelic. But like, I think it is, because it's, you know, looking at my perception of God is that it's, I call it the artist, the creator of all, the artist of all.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really matter to me what anybody else thinks of it.
Yeah.
This is how I think of it.
Yeah.
You can think of it however you like.
Yeah.
And I think the arguments or the wars over throughout history over religion are just kind of futile wars.
Yeah.
Because it's just you're never going to change the other person's mind. You're going to have to kill all of them. Mm-hmm. Like that's what are we talking about here? So it's like, but I think of it as the artist of all. And then what actually got me to go down the path of like, you know, art.
Yeah.
Is that I did some acid, did a psychedelic thing where I came into this contact of, you know, like I just was witnessing everything as like art. I was like seeing that like the world is art. And I thought to myself like, man, if, you know, whatever created this has to be an artist.
100%.
And then I thought to myself like, if it is an artist, then therefore so am I.
Because
it made me in its image.
Mm.
And so at least that's, you know, the basis of it, but it's like
that's what they say.
Yeah, that's what they say. So it's like, and if that's the case, then we're all artists.
Yeah,
you know, we all, because it's just a matter of what you choose your art to be, or what art speaks. Fact. Flows from you, really.
100%. You're right. You're right. I believe we definitely all artists.
Yeah,
that's real.
Yeah,
a lot of You can be a pole dancer. You could be a rapper, director, whatever. I believe anything. We are artists, all artists, but in just certain different ways, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard for a lot of people to find their craft, but I guarantee you when you find it, you're going to excel beyond words. Like,
right.
It's just going to be different.
Absolutely, dude.
Yeah.
What are you still trying to prove to yourself?
That I can grow. That I can grow, that I can be a better man, that I can do better, that I can be better, that I can apply more pressure, that I can show up each day and improve. The person who I was yesterday is not the best version of myself. The person you see today is not the best version of myself. I can be better. I can do better. And that's kind of goes why I was asking on set. What do you think? I can do better. I know I can do better. I have it in me. I know what I'm capable of. This is not the best. What I'm still trying to prove is this isn't it. You feel me? There's so much more inside of me that is just ready. So what do I have to prove? Man, I can keep going. There's a fire in my soul that just is relentless.
Fuck yeah, bro.
You feel me?
That's cool as fuck to hear.
Real shit.
That's cool, man.
Real shit.
Well, I got one more question for you here. A question that we ask everybody as the final question here on the podcast here is that aside from people or animals, so people or animals are out. Don't worry about it.
No people, no animals.
If your house is on fire
and
you can only grab one thing, what are you grabbing?
The Quran.
Okay.
The Quran.
Nice.
Yeah.
You got a nice copy of it? Like, you know, my Bible is like a leatherback archaeological study Bible.
Yeah.
You got like a cool one like that?
No, it's nothing special, but I think that's one of the most valuable things
I think
in my
so
place.
Too.
You feel me?
Well, I think the holy texts of any, I mean, I have like the Bhagavad Gita here too.
Yeah.
And I've got some Bibles. I've got a couple of different religious texts because I think it's really interesting.
Yeah.
But like, that's a cool, that's a cool answer to that.
Most def.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that. At the very least, religious texts are incredibly important.
Man.
Yeah.
Man.
And at the very least, it's a guiding light. Because I was having a conversation with my dad the other day about the Bible. And he said, you know, he was reading Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he recently read something that he had read, you know, 20 years prior in Proverbs. That meant that, like, it showed him a completely different thing than what he had read 20 years ago. Because you're reading these passages as the way you are currently, the way you're looking at the
who
lens
you are
right
now.
The color of the lens right now is the way it is. So if it's a different, it may show you something different each time. So yeah, I like that you said that. That's cool.
Man.
Yeah.
What you grabbing?
I got a painting.
Yeah.
That I'll show it to you. It's out here in a second.
Yeah.
But it says it's a painting of me.
Yeah.
That a friend of mine did. Shout out Andrew Carrillo.
Mm.
He painted a picture of me for me that I paid him 5 tabs of acid for this.
Mm.
This is during the time of my like hedonism. But I love this painting. It's a picture of me holding up a surfboard like this. On the surfboard it says "Too fast for Satan."
Mm.
I think it's fucking awesome.
Mm.
I think it's hilarious.
Mm. That might make Satan laugh. Yeah. You feel me?
That might make Satan laugh. Who knows? Who the fuck knows, dude?
Yeah.
He's like, you got a skateboard. If you're too fast, huh, motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fast
as
hell, dude.
Yeah, facts. Yeah. Man, that's what's up. That's dope.
Yeah, man. Well, why don't you plug your social medias, whatever you want to do, or anything you're working on?
Well, which one? I could plug my social media or tell you which one I'm working on.
Let's do both if you can.
Okay, so right now I'm working on. I was in another movie called Holding Pattern, and that comes out, that premieres next week, the 9th.
Nice.
Shout out to the director of Holding Pattern, Nico. Man.
Shout out, Nico.
The GOAT.
That's one
special. It's a little short film.
Another
one, shout out to my brother Miles. Brother Miles, man, you the GOAT for real. We're working on a play.
Oh, cool, man.
Yeah, it's called Black Gold. It's essentially the struggles of what black men face in the culture.
Okay.
Whether it's for black men, alcoholism, whether kind of drug addiction, the street life, vanity. One is a kind of a stripper. And then there's me, and I'm facing the struggles of colorism, you know. So
explain that.
So there's four black males, right?
Right.
One is facing vanity.
Right, I meant the colorism part.
Oh, so colorism, me being a light skin in the black community.
Sure, you feel me? Gotcha.
Yeah, not being accepted fully, black people, I'm not black enough, white people, you know, you feel me? So just dealing with that.
I understand what you mean, but...
You feel me?
Yeah. I don't understand personally, but I do know what you mean.
Absolutely. But I'm working on that now. That's a play, so that's going to pull me in a different direction as well, cool. because, you know.
I think that's a really good idea for a play, honestly. And you and your friend are writing it, you said?
That's my dog. That's the big homie.
That's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
Because it's... I've never written a play or even acted in or done anything in a play.
Yeah.
I imagine you can probably get away with some things that you can't get away with in the film. And I mean, obviously now with technology, you can probably like do whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I imagine in the play, you can probably like, well, I was thinking about this the other day that like in a play, you can, it's the whole thing at once. So you can have the person over here while, for example, like behind them, the person's stealing their money off the table.
Yeah.
You know, and you see the audience sees the person stealing their money off the table.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's at the very least, it's shown differently. So that'll be very interesting. You'll have to let me know when that comes out. I'm interested to see that.
And it's on point. So it's obviously face to face. So it's real and it's raw.
Yeah.
You feel me? Where there's ain't no editing, it's just a different delivery. And I think that's going to take me out of my comfort zone for sure. But you can follow me on IG. JMOAP, JAYMOEAP. And I'm also a barber on the side. You can follow my barber page, Apply Pressure_Cuts. You need a fade, I got you. You know what I'm saying? Apply pressure over here. We get it done. We get it done.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, dude. Most definitely.
Hell yeah, man. Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, dude.
Yeah.
So for everybody else out there listening, please follow our Instagram at Malfunction Junction Podcast. You can email us if you would like to put in your comments, your questions or concerns, or if you are a guest that would like to come on the podcast, you could be sitting right where James is. You can email us at malfunctionjunctionpodcast@gmail.com. And then for updates on Night Cook, you can follow Crucible Media_. That's it, yes. Crucible Media_. And that's all I really got. Thank you, James, so much for joining us. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great rest of y'all's day.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code PODCAST at joyandblokes.com.